Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 27th of February, recording at 9:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights today. We had generally firm stock markets in Asia. The notable gain was the Hang Seng Index from Hong Kong. That was up 3.24%. China responded well to the announcement yesterday that it was going to be watching and probably restraining the supply of new issues coming onto the market. Australia had a solid gain, 1.78%, and Japan tantalizingly close to breaking up out of its current trading range. The European markets came in weaker, and we saw some fairly large declines, but they were cut back sharply, and actually a number of them ended with modest gains following a Wall Street rally. And Wall Street had been weaker on poor economic data, big fall in durable goods, for instance, but then picked up, closed very, very modest gains, well mixed, I should really say, because the S&P was down slightly, nonetheless holding on to most of the gains that we had seen previously. And in government bonds, a slightly steadier tone today, nothing to write home about. And in precious metals here, this is where the drama, main drama occurred. Well, also in the U.S. dollar. Let me pick up the dollar first. Another new all-time low on the dollar index. A number of new highs, multi-year new highs by various currencies against the dollar. And that charge is being led by the resources currencies. Precious metals, which have been on a bit of a run recently, as you will have noticed, had another good day, a blitzing performance by silver, pushing up as high as 1960 on the May contract, currently 1937, but that's up over half a dollar. And gold has been as high, got up to nearly 965, and is currently up $10 at just over 9.58, and a little bit of a breakout there. Palladium was strong again today. The only one that declined was platinum, which has lost upside momentum. It was down $30. And the industrial metals were all very strong. Tin hitting a new all-time numerical high, although it closed unchanged on the day, but the best gains, well, copper was strong, nickel, they were all the others were strong. Big move up in my zinc today, and the agricultural commodities. We had extraordinary swings in wheat, must have been about 8% before closing firm on the day. And most of the agricultural commodities were firmer. Cotton was an exception, and sugar was an exception. Small declines there. And lumber rallied a bit in here for a change, up $3.80. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, if you look at global stock markets, and of course we do every day, and I know many of you do, you'll notice that it's really been the resources markets, the commodity producers and exporters that have had the very strong performances. That's hardly surprising given the role that prices, particularly agricultural prices, have been on for quite some time, but also the precious metals, and also the, we've seen some surprisingly strong gains Why do I say surprisingly? Talking about for the industrial metals, it's a real strength there. Unquestionably, a fair amount of short covering, but also we're seeing some declines in the inventories of these metals, indicating that there is end user demand, consumer demand, in other words, for these metals. So again, my point is that going back to stock markets, that it's really the resources exporters that have seen the really good rallies. I mean, their rallies are sufficiently good, to raise the question, what bear market? Yes, we saw a big medium-term correction, but a number of these markets are right back up and looking at their or not that far off their highs at any rate. So, but so that's where the strength is coming from, and the other markets have been ranging primarily following a good bounce off the climactic low on the 22nd of January. And most of them show a sequence of gradually rising lows within those patterns. So I hate to use the jargon, but you've got ascending triangular characteristics with a lot of those European indices, and well, I think just about all of them, the U.S. indices, some of the Asian indices. But will they break up out of those patterns and score meaningful gains, as we've seen with the resources sectors, or will they mess around and primarily range? Well, the patterns have the potential to support higher levels, and we could have a surprise there, particularly if there are other, well, remaining big shorts in the market to be squeezed, and I suspect there probably are. However, my view overall is don't be surprised in this cycle, which I've described as having slowed and therefore been lengthened. Don't be surprised if we get a lot of sideways ranging activity for these non-export. Beg your pardon, non-resources exporting stock markets. Okay. China's action, again, that's worthy of note. I think I'd mentioned yesterday that we last saw the government rein in new issues back in 2004. I think that was incorrect. I believe it was in 2006, and I've changed yesterday's copy on the website accordingly. Now, Hong Kong's action, here you've got a strong economy, very strong economy. You've got a big balance of payments surplus in Hong Kong, so they're continuing to cut taxes and hand a fair amount of that money back to the population, just further improving the overall business environment there. And of course, you've got the peg to the US dollar, which is creating some inflationary pressures in Hong Kong, but equities are quite likely to do extremely well, particularly if China turns its market trend around sooner rather than later. Now, government bonds, my view that if stock markets hold their lows, then we're going to see those bond prices ranging sideways to lower overall. And the most vulnerable one, I feel, is the U.S. Treasuries, because they're in greatest supply. They're the ones that central banks have stuffed in their portfolios and are keen to to diversify away from. And the US is ignoring inflation right now to create market stability and to cushion the economy. I think it's probably got its priorities right, but it's a bit of a Hobson's choice, isn't it, right now? So those US bonds look vulnerable overall, and I'm happy to maintain a short position there. I just hope that the trend is orderly enough not to cause problems with trailing stops. The dollar here is a very interesting story and may have implications, I suspect will have implications for some other markets, and not just putting an additional and powerful tailwind behind the commodity prices, including gold, of course, and silver. I think it's also that if the dollar extends this downward break, and it'll have to score some sort of upward dynamic and move back into the prior trading range to offset that possibility. I mean, we had several months of sideways ranging. Now we've had a clear downward break, and if you look at the individual charts, that certainly the dollar has broken down against the resources currencies and a number of the Asian currencies, some of which are also resources currencies. So this is not a good picture overall for the US dollar. And while those who are cautious, or if not outright bearish of stock markets, have been monofocused on the credit crunch, you know my view, I think a lot of that is really discounted. And people might be saying now, well, how can you say that? Because new disclosures are coming out all the time. Yes, but we should expect that. We can expect that. Of course, we're going to get further shocks. But remember, with a crisis, and this has been a crisis, that in terms of its impact on markets, the impact on markets starts to lessen unless the crisis is both perceived and seen to be worsening. Now, you may feel that's a close call, and the mostly ranging activity of stock markets in Europe and the US would support that view. But I would say, look at what's improved since we became aware of all this. We've had write-downs, and no doubt we will have more write-downs, but we've had the Fed lurch into action with one of the biggest reflationary efforts going, and that's been helping to push interest rates down. And yes, that hasn't broken the log jam in terms of in terms of credit availability, but it's an important step in the right direction. And we've seen the sovereign wealth funds come in and give these banks much needed capital. So whereas people were talking about the end of the world back in January, they're more circumspect today. And I would argue that you net it all out and the crisis is not worsening. It's spreading, but it's spreading to areas that had been anticipated by that climactic selling that we saw, which ended back on the 22nd of January. Now, my point, though, prior to that hopefully relevant digression, was that the dollar has kind of been ignored here against this background of obsession with the credit situation, and I think the dollar is a problem. I actually shorted the DAX again in here. I didn't time it particularly well today because I shorted it before Wall Street reversed its decline, and that lifted Germany and the other stock markets. But you know, I'm looking at a euro here at 151.16, Most of the world of currency analysts were telling us that no way 150, it was going to go in the opposite direction. And here we are. A lot of people have been talking the dollar up. It's a lot of wishful thinking. There, you know, I haven't bought into that a hypothesis. Because why should we expect that? We've got the lower interest rates coming, and all the dollar printing that's taking place, and all the problems for the U.S. economy. Now, if we do get a technical rally in the dollar, and of course we get periodic technical rallies, watch for around the 18th of March, because that's when the Fed next has a rate decision, and the markets are already discounting a half point interest rate cut, which would take the federal funds rate to 2.5%. I think it's quite likely that we will see that, and it's being widely discounted. And that might just be the end of the rate cuts. So that will depend, of course, on whether the economy continues to weaken or not, as to whether or not that is the final rate cut. But rates will be down far enough so that I think that far more people will say, well, maybe they've just about done it, at least for a while. Now, currently, I think the dollar is discounting the next rate cut, and this might be a case of sell the rumor and buy the news. Although I certainly wouldn't be buying the dollar, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to steady, if it's sort of steadied around the 18th of March. What else to mention in here? Precious metals. Well, platinum's lost upside momentum. So it's no longer a tailwind for the sector generally, but it hasn't really broken down. We're not seeing selling pressure. In other words, we're seeing some profit taking on long positions. Silver has definitely spiked over the last couple of days, but you know, it's still, you look at the weekly chart and it's still pretty well supported by a massive underlying trading range. But of course, it did get within 40 cents of that psychological $20 level. I think the pattern can support a move, and I think in terms of long-term bull potential, I think I said a few days ago that the current momentum could easily sustain a move to $20. It is going to be very volatile. And therefore, risks have certainly gone up. When one's able to make money very quickly, as has been the case with long positions in the last couple of days, the risks have got to be commensurate. And I lightened a little bit in here today into that strength, as you'll see when I post the comment of the day. And overall, though, this run isn't over, but it is at a mature stage, something that I've said all along, and I've also emphasized that, or I've said for a number of days now. Think in terms of those cycles of approximately 26 months that we've seen for the metals, twice during this whole bull run that started back in around 2000 and 2001. So we're coming up. Well, we're within 2, 3 months of at best of completing this cycle. In other words, we could complete this upward cycle, I think, in precious metals sooner rather than later. And I know some people are saying that there are reasons why we shouldn't get a big shakeout as we had in 2006, possibly. But the old rule of thumb, you know, if markets that well the more they run on the upside in the short term, the more likely it is that we do get a big correction. Even if markets range for a while prior to that big correction, as we've seen with some of the industrial metals when they were peaking prior to medium-term corrections of up to a couple of years. The precious metal cycle's been a little shorter than that. And what about the foods? Again, a crowded trade, but still pretty much in form. Crowded trade makes it a risky trade, but again, these are secular bull markets. Crude oil could not maintain the break. It hit new highs. It further new an additional new high in here today. Got up to 102.08 on the spot NYMEX crude, but is currently at 99.57. Natural gas fell back quite sharply. I was stopped out there, and so I'm now hoping it'll pull back a little bit further so that I can pick it back up again at a lower level, because there's a pretty decent base formation under that pattern. And that's pretty much it. I've got a very busy day tomorrow with a board meeting and a business meeting after that. But no doubt there'll be time to provide more commentary, as will Owen, and also the audio. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.